present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back to take the fourth chair, or the ladies' chair, as sometimes referred to, Sheila Hancock. Sheila once again is going to pit her wits and knowledge and ability against our three regular male competitors of Just a Minute. And they're going to try and speak, if they can, for 60 seconds on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. So let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, can you talk about traumatic experiences for 60 seconds, starting now?
It is extraordinary how this clinical word has now crept into what we all know as current usage. It was, strictly speaking, the province of doctors that this word was in before, but now...
Sheila Hancock has challenged you.
Repetition of word?
Yes, we've had two words, I'm afraid, Kenneth. So I agree with Sheila's challenge for repetition, so she gets a point, and the subject of traumatic experiences, and there are 44 seconds left, Sheila, starting now.
The first, and I suppose one of the greatest traumatic experiences you can have, is birth. What a terrible shock it must be to come out of all that cosiness into this great big frightening world. And it's no surprise that you spend the rest of your life in a state of total shock. And you finish up with another traumatic experience, which is death, which must be equally startling when you wake up and find yourself wherever you do after that.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
It hasn't been proved that you wake up after death.
Hasn't been proved that you don't, though.
Oh, very good point.
I think you can assume that death is a shock from which few people recover.
Who asked you to put your oar in?
Nobody sits around waiting to be invited in this game.
No, I quite agree, Peter.
It would be the Kenneth Williams half hour.
Sheila, I disagree with Clement's challenge, so you gain a point for a wrong challenge. You keep the subject, and there are 19 seconds left on traumatic experiences, starting now.
Another pretty startling one is the first time...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition was startling.
Yes, you did have startling ones before. Yes, I'm afraid so, Sheila. There are now 12 seconds... I'm sorry. There are now 16 seconds left on traumatic experiences with you, Clement, starting now.
It is very strange that few people realize traumatic experience comes from the German Traum, a dream. So, in fact, traumatic experiences are dreamlike occasions.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Dream, twice.
No, he didn't say... He did say dreamlike then. And the word was dream before.
I don't know what he's doing.
I didn't
dream.
Hear you.
He said the word derived from the German, which means dream.
No.
And it means the shock when you're in your dreamlike state. So he said dream twice.
What did you say, Clement, then?
Dreamlike. It's not dream.
Dreamlike. I'm going to ask the audience. I don't know. Would you?
Oh, don't ask the audience. Why not? No point.
Well, when we have an impossible or difficult decision to make...
That's not an impossible... This should be a simple decision for a chairman to make. A man says dream, and then he says dreamlike.
Yes, well, that's all right.
I would have said it's absolutely all right.
The word's not hyphenated. So, therefore, the word dream occurs twice in speech, and therefore it's against the rules, and I have the subject.
In other words, you want the subject, Kenneth, but dreamlike is a word, so Clement Freud has a point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 4 seconds left, starting now.
Many other words like traumatic experience.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of like.
Oh, yes!
Well, if he didn't repeat dream, he must have repeated like.
No.
Because there's no like. Now, I know it's a very difficult decision, and I know you've got laryngitis, and I know you're afraid you may get a lot of letters, but it is unquestionably my point, and I am in the lead.
Peter, even if you don't play it like Kenneth Williams, it's good to try and play it like Kenneth, and you do get some nice...
You should stick up for yourself more, Peter.
Well,
they threw you down in this game.
Yes, I know they do. Yes, I've had about as much as I can stand, Sheila. I don't mind telling you.
I'm afraid, Peter, as much as we appreciated your panache there, he didn't repeat the word like. It was dreamlike.
He didn't repeat the word like.
No. So he has a point, I'm afraid. You tried very hard, because only 1 second to go. With you, Clement Freud, 1 second to go, starting now.
Hello there.
Well, in spite of being attacked on all sides, Clement Freud kept going successfully to speak when the whistle went. And as you know by now, when the whistle goes, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and at that particular moment, whoever is speaking gains an extra point. Clement Freud is now definitely in the lead. And Peter Jones, would you go on the next round, please? And the subject is potpourri. Would you talk on that? Starting... What?
It's potpourri.
The T is actually pronounced.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, if you want to, we have a potpourri.
No, that's it. Potpourri.
Now the audience knows.
What do you say, Clement Freud?
Good evening.
No. How do you pronounce it, Kenneth?
I'm not concerned, not unconcerned.
How do you pronounce it, Sheila?
Well, I think it can either be potpourri or potpourri.
Yes, exactly. Well said. And exactly what I was doing. Potpourri.
How would you like me to pronounce it? I mean, I'm the one that's got to talk about it. When you've decided, you tell me how...
I will put it to the audience. How would you like Peter to pronounce it?
Potpourri!
The audience want a potpourri.
Ignorant lot.
No, that's quite right.
Your French would say potpourri. But the audience, being English, want a potpourri from you.
Yes.
For 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, it's something that I associate with old English cottages and gardens, with hollyhocks and roses round the door, and pansies and sweet William, and old flowers.
I got that reference, pansies and sweet William. I'm not going to sit here and take that lying down. That's what he meant about earlier on about Eddie Nuff. Well, he meant that's his comeback, isn't it? That's a crafty comeback. He's gone red. Look at him. Yeah.
You should know Peter hasn't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Were you challenged for a repetition of old?
No, I realise that was wrong challenge. I withdraw that. I'm terribly sorry, Peter.
Well, you should have thought very quickly and said he repeated old and you could have had him on repetition.
Ah, wasn't quick enough. No. Old brain, Nabby.
There are 47 seconds left for you now, Peter, on potpourri. Potpourri starting now.
Now get as many petals from these fragrant blooms and blossoms as you can. Dry them in the sunshine, if you can find any, and then when they are really crisp and fragrant, drop them into a bowl or other...
Hesitation. Yes. So what were you searching for?
Well, I was trying to avoid using that pot, you know, because it had an idea. I mean, I know it's nothing. It's nothing.
I think
you... Because you said potpourri. I'd imagine keeping all these things in a pot, you think. Wouldn't be right at all and wouldn't provide the right odour.
I said it that
In fact,
way.
I wish I hadn't ever had anything to do with it at all.
I gave an alternative pronunciation so that you could take it the other way and interpret it the other way.
Yes,
there are 28 seconds with you, Sheila, on potpourri, starting now.
Often these things are in jars or they can be in a little sachet. And the idea is, I think, to keep it amongst your undies or your handkerchiefs. And that imparts a nice fragrance for you to carry around with you. It may have started, like most of these perfumed things, around the time of the plague, where people waved things in front of them to prevent themselves getting the disease. In those days, they probably were an orange.
So Sheila kept going then successfully and spoke when the whistle went, gained the extra point, and has taken the lead at the end of that round. Clement Freud, will you please begin the next round? The subject is peanuts. Can you talk on peanuts for 60 seconds, starting now?
Peanuts are also known as monkey nuts and come in outer husks containing an inner oleous kernel which can be squeezed to provide oil.
He was said it himself, hesitation.
Yes, and that fact that he completely dried up after 15 seconds, which is so unusual, nobody could believe it and nobody dared to challenge. Sheila, you got in first and you have 45 seconds on peanuts, starting now.
You can have these salted and very tasty they are too. Monkeys like them quite a lot and children take them to the zoo and feed the animals with them. They also are nice in brownies, which is a sort of biscuit that you can put them into, and very crunchy and nice they are.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Too nice.
Yes, it was too nice. There are 27 seconds on peanuts now with you, Kenneth, starting now.
This is a stinkingly uninspiring subject. All I can say is when you get them into your mouth...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation from peanuts.
And?
This is a stinkingly unexciting subject. It has nothing to do with peanuts.
The subject is peanuts.
And he said this is a stinkingly
inspiring subject.
So, Kenneth, you have a point, and you have 23 seconds on peanuts starting now.
Oh, what an itching under me wee pleat, she cried as a bit of the nut got lodged there. And I said, what's for tea? Oh, the rose on toast for you, she said, my man. I said, but after peanuts, do you think it goes? Oh, you could have them.
Sheila Hancock.
You could have
a petition of ooh.
That's how she talks. Okay.
That's how she talks. Stuffed olives, like a peanut. Oh, there you go again.
Yes.
Tom's does that.
Yes, well, if you're going to go like that, you're going to impersonate her, then it is a repetition because there was too many O's, and there are 4 seconds now with you, Sheila, on peanuts starting now.
It's also a rather attractive little strip cartoon fella.
Was speaking when the whistle went, so has increased her lead at the end of that round. And Sheila, we'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject is a bad night. Can you talk to us about that? Yes, the mind begins to move.
It's a dodgy one, isn't it?
Yeah. A boggle-minding one. A mind-boggling one, I'm sorry. A boggle-minded chairman is talking about a mind-boggling question. A bad night, Sheila, 60 seconds, starting now.
A bad night starts with Ellie Jane being difficult about going to bed and carries on from there. When I've eventually hurled her into her room, I go down exhausted and I've run out of scotch. And then I sit there and watch pretty abysmal television, which invariably is myself, and I go to bed...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Oh, yes, deviation. How could it invariably be herself that she's watching on television?
It's invariably
invisible. We're to assume that she's got domination over every channel, are we? Having murdered watching myself.
I meant what you said,
my girl. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Word
shut your mouth for a bit. You said enough for a moment.
I beg your pardon. All the way from King's Cross, you talk to like that.
I thought you'd move.
Oh, just kick me as you pass.
All the way back to platform 7.
Yes, lovely.
Kenneth, I know
show,
that Sheila was embarrassed when she talked about abysmal television, so she tried to cover it up by saying it was invariably herself that was abysmal. And I maintain that when I felt that she was conveying that it was herself that was abysmal, and though she was being modest and not the television was abysmal, therefore she keeps the subject, and there are 37 seconds
for it. Are you implying that I am abysmal by listening to that subject?
No.
I think I'd rather you were
implying that
extension.
You were being modest, Sheila. So you have 37 seconds on a bad night starting now.
Then I get up to my...
Kenneth Williams'
hesitation. Challenge.
I was
Sheila
drawing breath.
Drawing breath. Then.
36 seconds on a bad night, Sheila, starting
well,
now.
Well, it's been nice to see you.
And when I get into the bed, I can't get comfortable.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of bed. It's the bad
yes. 33 seconds now on a bad night, Clement, starting now.
Of all the bad nights, Sir Lancelot was probably deemed to be the very worst. He not only beat his wife, he neglected his children. He paid lip service to his king without ever doing the sort of things that would...
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Yes, I agree. So 19 seconds now left on a bad night with you, Kenneth, starting now.
And Arthur said to Guinevere apropos, Lancelot, thou shouldst cling to me and claim me thine, not his, nor another's, but thine own.
Clement Freud is challenged.
All their signs.
Yes, there was too much dining there. O's for the Scots,
Come on, Nick, come on.
6 seconds for you, Clement, on a bad night, starting now.
Tuesday, the 28th of February, 1846, was deemed by many to be a bad night.
When the whistle went, he moved forward, but he's still in second place behind Alida, who is still Sheila Hancock, and Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, the Golden Fleece. One of those lovely ones that Ian Messler thinks of especially for you. Will you talk about it now for 60 seconds, starting now?
Of course, it does all have its origins in Greek mythology, with this Eno did not like the first husband's love of children, and Nephele got this fleece out which could fly through the air, and these kids went off. But one fell off Elis, after which the Hellespont is named. Also, the Golden Fleece is one of the grandest of the European chivalric titles instituted, I recall, by Philip Le Bon, or for the benefit of you ignorant fools, Philip the Good.
I said
you're ignorant fools. That's my failing, wasn't it? That was my very failing. In trying to be clever, I undone my own natural work.
Yes. Clement Freud, you challenge. What?
Really
the reputation of Philip.
Yes.
I shouldn't have said it twice.
Really 25 seconds with Clement Freud on the Golden Fleece, starting now.
If you drive along the A12 in the direction of Yarmouth, you will find a public house on the left-hand side of the road called the Golden Fleece. The licensing hours are 11 a.m. till 2:30 and 5 in the afternoon until 10 at night. And the landlord's wife is called Rosie and makes pork pies.
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
Hesitation. He couldn't remember what she made. Very,
Oh, I don't think he really hesitated, Peter. Well, try, but bad luck. 6 seconds on the Golden Fleece. Still with you, Clement, starting now.
Ham sandwiches, turkey crackers, cheddar cheese, and pickles.
Peter Jones has chucked.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree that time, Peter. 2 seconds with you, Peter, on the Golden Fleece, starting now.
It's at Whitney in Oxfordshire.
Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams are equal in second place behind Sheila Hancock and Clement Freud, who are equal in first place. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, pawnbrokers. Would you talk about that one now for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, of course, there is a great deal more porn about now than there has been for a long time. You read about it in the newspapers, you see it on the hoardings and in the magazines, on bookstalls and elsewhere. Photographs outside cinemas.
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Why?
Deviation. The word's pawnbrokers.
Yes, but he's taken the porn about the pornography that is people...
there are no brokers in porn.
Yes, but you could, colloquially speaking, a person who sells pornographic material is a pawnbroker, and he's to be complimented on taking it away that nobody in the audience thought about. So, Peter, you have 43 seconds on pawnbrokers starting now.
If it goes on increasing at this rate, then I suppose we may well have pawnbrokers to cope with it in the future. But I wouldn't like to see this because... to me, the ideal type of pawnbroker is the one who has a shop with three balls outside it. And he sells things from this shop. He also takes from people, customers who come, in exchange for money, objects which they sometimes value and sometimes have...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition sometimes.
Yes, there are 11 seconds now on pawnbrokers with you, Clement, starting now.
There are streets in the City of London, and especially in the East End, where pawnbrokers proliferate. Anyone who has anything of any value...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Anything of any...
Anything of any value. Anything is one word, and any value is two words. So, alas, you didn't get in just before the whistle, Kenneth. And Clement has half a second on pawnbrokers starting now.
And redeems it.
Clement Freud has now gone into a definite lead at the end of that round. And Clement, your turn to begin. And the subject, dressing. Would you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
In the culinary sense of this word, dressing consists usually of oil and vinegar, salt, pepper, mustard, and any herbs or spices that you might like to put with it. But dressing in the more usual sense consists of putting on your knickers.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
I don't think we can accept salt as a dressing. You know, it certainly does enhance
the flavor. So what's your challenge, Peter?
Deviation.
Why? Because salt isn't a dressing, but didn't he establish that it was part of a dressing that he was making?
No.
Jason,
no, he said... Did he?
Yes,
no.
He did.
I'm afraid. Well, I'm terribly sorry then. How embarrassing for me.
I don't think it's embarrassing. We love to hear from you whenever you want to come in, Peter.
Oh, well, that's...
be our guest. 43 seconds with you, Clement. Still on dressing, starting now.
After a game of football, you go into something called a dressing room, in which, in the first instance, you remove all your outer clothing, often your inner ones as well, and... At the end of the match or contest in which you've taken part, you go back to this dressing emplacement, encampment, if you will, and put on...
Sheila Hancock is challenged.
You can't honestly call it a dressing encampment, can you? Isn't that slightly devious?
No, I think if you're searching for another word, it's jolly difficult. To me, encampments has a very military ring to it, I must say.
I played all my games in the army.
I think it's a difficult one on which to... I know, as it's difficult to judge, let's ask the audience with their superior wisdom to be the final arbiters in the situation. And if you agree with Sheila's challenge about the encampment, will you cheer? And if you disagree, will you boo? And will you all do it together now?
Hooray!
Sheila, they don't want an encampment for a dressing room. So, there are 19 seconds left for you, Sheila, on dressing, starting now.
Well, I don't wear anything in bed, so I get out, and the first thing I do is put on me pants. I wish I'd never started this. And then I put on me dress. Afterwards, I possibly wear shoes. And... I don't wear one.
Hesitation.
Yes, you're all being
well,
awful. I think they were letting you going to see how you... How are you dressed, actually, Sheila?
Well, yes, naturally.
I bitterly regretted it directly I started.
I know, and you pause all the time, but they were going to hear all about your under... your dressing. But the idea of you putting on your pants and then your shoes, I must say, that was a lovely... especially in the cold weather. Peter, you got in first, so you have the subject of dressing, and there are only 2 seconds to go, starting now.
Dressing is something that society...
forward at the end of that round, but he's still in third place, just behind Sheila. Sheila's behind our leader, who's still Clement Freud. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. And the subject, my testimonials.
Oh, God.
And you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now.
Mine are pretty tatty and very dusty. My agent representing me for professional appearances and the like got them out the other day and said, have you seen these lately? I said, oh, gracious me, a certificate for acting. Where'd I win that? He said, well, it wasn't the Mabel Temerley Award. She was always going around giving it away. I said, oh, do you ever have occasion to produce these things? Oh, yes, he replied. Various organizations that set themselves up as statutory bodies governing the standards laid down in various professions.
Clement Freud is challenged. Why?
Repetition of various.
Yes.
Various bodies and various professions.
That's right, Clement. So you have 15 seconds now on my testimonials, starting now.
And as the footman walked down the path on the way out from the castle, he thought to himself, if I had had a better education, I would have got that job. This is one of the oldest stories about testimonials, the beginning of which is so filthy that I'm unable to...
The whistle went any further before we got any further. But alas, we have no more time to play just a minute. So let me give you the final score. Kenneth Williams finished in a commanding fourth place. Peter did extraordinarily well, was quite brilliant, but he did finish in third place. Sheila was outstandingly good and finished in second place behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.